This week on The Breezy Breakfast, we learn about Guelph's bylaws. Doug Godfrey and Dustin Gronk field questions about bylaw enforcement, the differences between laws and bylaws, and the reasons why bylaw enforcement is often complaint-driven. Now over to our moderator, Phil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another Breezy Breakfast. Before we begin, I would like to read a territorial acknowledgement, but not from Guelph, from the city of Kenora. And I do that in recognition that with the air quality that is occurring as a consequence of the forest fires across Canada and that are affecting all of North America, we should remember that those forest fires, which are largely a consequence of modern life, are affecting Indigenous communities significantly more than they would be affecting cities like New York or Montreal or even Guelph. In the spirit of reconciliation, the city of Kenora acknowledges that we are on the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and Métis of Treaty Number 3. The city of Kenora was originally the land base of one collective First Nation community, which was separated into three communities, now known as Wazuk, Onigom, Nashichuan, and Washagami Bay First Nations. Kenora now sustains many others, all of whom have been welcomed to peacefully share and care for these ancestral lands and waters. To support stewardship of the land, the city recognizes the importance of a strong relationship with our Treaty Number 3 partners. The city of Kenora acknowledges that our economy greatly benefits from the Anishinaabe and Métis that live in and around the city. And welcome to Breezy Breakfast today. Today we are joined with Doug Godfrey and Dustin from Bylaw, who are going to provide us with information on everything that we need to know about bylaws in Guelph. Everything from collecting dog poop, to lighting fires, to having your snow removed in the middle of July. These are all important issues as we live in, hopefully, what I would consider to be a civil community, where people understand that laws are not made to control people, but laws are there and bylaws are there in case there are challenges that neighbors might have with each other on a multitude of everyday and ordinary issues. I think what's important to recognize about bylaws is that bylaws are just that. They are bylaws and not laws. They are enforceable by a community, but are for all intents and purposes, civil matters and not criminal matters. And that's a significant difference that we must all acknowledge. I might also acknowledge that Breezy Breakfast has now purchased the speaker and the microphone that I am speaking from. And I am pleading with everybody who has even an extra nickel to consider supporting Breezy Breakfast as we continue to broadcast on CFRU and provide a podcast which imparts important information to people within the community. With that, I'm going to pass it over to Doug and Dustin for a discussion of bylaws. I'm going to ask if they want to do a brief introduction, and I will try to field questions. Doug and Dustin, welcome today. We have a number of questions coming up, and I think even from the environment today, there are probably questions that are going to come up as a consequence of issues that many people have with open fires and fire bans in Guelph, water, and all sorts of other issues associated with living day-to-day and changing environments around us. Thanks very much for being here.
Well, thank you very much for inviting us. As Councillor Ault indicated, my name is Doug Godfrey. I'm the General Manager of the Operations Department here at the City of Guelph. I've been with the city since 1990. I've been dealing with bylaws since then as well. I'm a board member of the Municipal Law Enforcement Association. This association represents municipalities, provides support to municipalities and bylaw officers across the province. So I'm familiar with a number of bylaws, not only here in Guelph, but across the province and even outside. And I'll turn the mic over to Dustin Gronk, our Manager of Corporate and Community Safety.
Hello, everyone. My name is Dustin Gronk, and I manage the Corporate and Community Safety Division. I've been in Guelph here since August, actually, this year, so I'm quite new to the addition here, but I'm not new to bylaw. Been in the industry for about 10 years, and I did serve some time with Doug, actually, for the MLUA, so I'm quite familiar with most bylaws across the province as well. So with that, nice to see everyone here, and we'll pass it back.
I've got a few questions that were submitted in advance. Is it true that Guelph has a bylaw that prevents the installation of in-sink garbage disposals?
So the City of Guelph does, within the sewer use bylaw, does have a restriction that prohibits those types of devices from being added to kitchen sinks. This bylaw is not unique to Guelph. This regulation is not unique to Guelph. And in fact, it's in place in a number of municipalities across Ontario, across Canada, and into the United States. The reason for that is that we want to protect our sewer system. We're, you know, avoid any blockages and avoid the treatment plant having to work on any materials that shouldn't be there. Guelph has a robust green bin program, which food scraps, you know, we encourage people to put food scraps in that.
Okay, so as a follow-up, if Guelph has that level of authority, can the city ban reverse osmosis water filters? They waste between 3 and 25 liters of water for every liter they produce. And if we do have the authority to do this, why wouldn't we?
So through the city's water use bylaw, as well as the outside water use bylaw, we do have the ability to regulate water use. Externally, for lawns and that, as most residents know, we do have water restrictions on watering your lawn and that sort of thing. With respect to inside the home, there's not too many regulations on what appliances you can operate, which you can't, but Guelph has a long history of encouraging water conservation. There's been a lot of programs put in place by Waterworks to encourage residents to do that rather than a bylaw. With respect to reconsidering regulations, every couple of years, well, every year, we do bylaw reviews and we try to review all the bylaws. And at that time, we look at opportunities to either remove restrictions if they're not necessary, or add restrictions if that's what the community would like to see. So in summary, it's something that we could look at in future, but currently it's not regulated.
Zoning amendments often come with written conditions, sometimes prescribed by a committee of adjustment resolution. Are these conditions enforced by bylaw with the prerequisite of a formal complaint by the public? Like, is that formal complaint necessary? And if they aren't addressed by bylaw, why not?
So I'll clarify. So zoning regulations, for the most part, are monitored and addressed by staff within the planning and building area, zoning inspectors. I do know that for conditions that are placed on zoning amendments, normally those conditions are for the property owner to apply for a building permit or another permit. And during that process, staff will confirm that the conditions are being met before that issuance of that building permit. If a resident believes that a condition that was put on a property and is not being met, we do recommend that they reach out to staff to seek more information on it, because it'll be a specific situation on that property.
Okay, the next question. Why isn't the disabled parking bylaw being enforced regularly?
So the accessible parking bylaw is one that staff will proactively enforce. It is the highest fine that we have under the parking regulations. It's $350. That's the highest parking fine that we have in the city. And it is proactively enforced. Not only is the parking of the vehicle proactively enforced, but the actual use of the accessibility permit is actively enforced. Staff will ensure that those permits are being used properly. And if not, there's a process in place that we do revoke that permit and speak to the Ministry of Transportation. However, should a resident have concerns regarding that an accessible spot is not being enforced on a routine basis or is being missed by staff, I encourage them to contact staff and we'll make sure that it is patrolled.
Doug, just a quick follow-up on that one. A couple of years ago, I had somebody whom I connected you with who inadvertently parked in a handicapped spot. The sign wasn't really obviously clear. If somebody does that, because it is quite a steep fine, what can bylaw do in even any other situation where they've done something that is clearly an accident? I know that once I had to go to a community event, I ended up parking in a no parking zone. I got a ticket and I had to say to you, I'm here on city business. Can you correct this? What can be done?
As with any fine that's issued by bylaw staff or police or other agencies, the recipient does have the ability to choose the trial option, take the matter to trial. Right. So you can bring it before court, explain the circumstances, and the court will make a determination on that charge. However, with respect to parking violations within the city, we do have a program in place in which staff can conduct a more informal review to look at the ticket, the reasons behind it, and make a decision on that. Ultimately, if the recipient doesn't like that decision, they still have the ability to take it to for a trial. But there is a system in place that staff have that we can review a parking ticket. That number and the information is on the back of the parking ticket. So if you were to receive one and you wish to have it reviewed, there's a telephone number that you can call in. But again, it's a timely matter, and there's a process in which if you wait too long, obviously it will go to trial automatically and go through the process.
The next question has to do with noise. And I'm going to preface it by saying that last August, I was put a city residents to let the city know on which streets there were particularly noisy cars. My question is, how did bylaw officers deal with these noisy cars if they did? Donna would like to know, are drivers of noisy vehicles, motorcycles, cars, and trucks typically charged under city bylaws, or are they the purview of the Highway Traffic Act? What role can bylaw officers play to effectively deal with the massive increase in noisy vehicles on city streets? In particular, I was wondering if bylaw could be made to prohibit vehicles that do not have any mufflers.
So I'll go back in time a little bit to answer this question. So back, I believe in, I may have the actual dates off by a year. So back in 2011, during our normal bylaw review, like I talked about earlier, city staff reviewed the noise bylaw and made a number of recommendations to change it, mostly regarding mixed use areas where there's residential and non-residential. And we made some changes to the noise bylaw, which council supported. At that time, council directed staff to investigate options to address noisy vehicles. They asked staff to research it and determine what can be done, if anything, to enforce it. Staff conducted another review specifically for that, and we looked at cars, transport trucks, and motorcycles. At the time and currently, there was a process in place that was developed by engineers to regulate motorcycle noise based on decibel levels. We went back to council and enacted that restriction. So for motorcycles, there is a requirement for them to meet to be below a certain decimal point, a decibel level on mufflers. And staff do have the ability to test those motorcycles in a stationary mode. And if some residents may recall, a number of years ago, we actually put a volunteer testing center up at the West End in which people could bring their motorcycles and get them tested. And we're looking at something that again in the future. However, with respect to cars and transport trucks, unfortunately, there is no specific test that can be applied on street to look at those types of vehicles. However, both within the Highway Traffic Act and within the city's bylaw, it says that vehicles with a combustion engine must have a proper working muffler, and it is enforceable under those regulations. With respect to who's responsible for enforcement, obviously bylaw staff do not stop moving vehicles. Therefore, that relies on the Guelph Police. With respect to stationary, bylaw staff will respond to that. So if there's a concern about a noisy vehicle within your neighborhood, bylaw staff can respond.
Phil has a follow-up.
The follow-up is, I think, a very important one. Many, many people are confused about what the relationship is between police and bylaw staff. When do the police get involved? When are bylaw involved? And how do bylaw staff and the police interact on some of these concerns?
So through various regulations, Police Services Act, the Provincial Offences Act, authorities giving to bylaw staff and police staff to ability to enforce regulations. The tickets and the charges and the process that police use to enforce bylaws are the exact same that bylaw staff use to enforce bylaws. In fact, the ticket that you would receive from a police officer for speeding is the exact same ticket you would receive from a bylaw officer for a noisy dog or a noisy party or failing to clean up after it. All the actual forms and the processes used by both are the same. The authority to do certain things, however, does change. Obviously, police can stop moving vehicles. Bylaw staff do not have that authority. Police have the ability to arrest people for certain offenses. Obviously, bylaw do not have that authority. So the forms and the processes that they both use are pretty similar. However, the authorities that are given to them may be different. Within Guelph, we have a great working relationship with the Guelph Police, and we often collaborate on a number of projects. With respect to noise and nuisance, Guelph Police actually dispatch the bylaw staff to those calls. The reason for it is because for every nuisance or noise call, it's vetted by Guelph Police dispatch so that they can determine the appropriate response to it, the call, whether it be bylaw staff or police staff be dispatched to attend. So I think that kind of answers the question, but we have a really good working relationship. And the process for enforcement is the same. However, the authorities to enact some of the enforcement differs.
Okay, thank you. I believe that Donna would like to follow up. Donna?
Hi, Doug. We had a talk on the phone last week, I think, about this issue. And so I'm confused. The more I look into it and try and learn about how it's being dealt with, because it is, according to something I read just the other day, the CAA has done a bit of a survey and discovered that it's increased. Stunt driving, noisy vehicles have increased like 140%. So, and this is something that I deal with every day, living on a really fairly busy street on Stevenson Street. So I'd like to know how bylaw officers relate to the problem. First, is it in complaint driven? So, you know, as far as a bylaw officer is concerned, there's no problem unless someone calls it in. And then it needs to be parked in the driveway, and then they'll do a test. So that's number one. Number two, what is the enforcement level of the new bylaw? Like, how many people are actually, of the number of calls that are coming in, vetted by the police because they're noise, sent to bylaw because they're parked, how many of those calls are actually getting fined for the offense? Because I'm not clear on that at all, as with regards to the police as well. Like, what is the level of enforcement of our existing laws? It seems to me like the problem has gotten quite out of control. Like, is anyone dealing with it? And how can we change that? Because this kind of noise pollution is a serious public health issue. And I think If citizens have to rise up and just call in a constant stream of complaints in order to get action on this, we can do so. but I think we need to know that that's the process, and hopefully we can enact some other ways to deal with this problem.
With respect to enforcement of the noise bylaw, again, moving violations are enforced by the Guelph Police, so stunt driving, inappropriate behavior while driving a vehicle, that should be reported to the Guelph Police to follow up. With respect to enforcement, and they would be responsible for any noise associated with the moving vehicle. With respect to noise in general, I can advise that the biggest number of calls that the city bylaw staff receive is parking. Right. So the majority of calls that we receive are regarding parking complaints. No parking zones, parked in accessible spots, parked in fire routes, that sort of thing. And they make up, I believe, about 5,000 to 7,000 calls a year. The second highest volume of calls that bylaw staff deal with are noise and nuisance. So they would be high. And with noise and nuisance, bylaw staff do go out, look at the concern, gather evidence, and if warranted, would issue charges. And again, we do issue a number of charges for noise and nuisance events. With respect to specifically for motor vehicles, I would suspect, though I don't have the numbers in front of me right now, they would be limited limited number of charges. As with any bylaw, we try to work with the resident to resolve it. And if we're satisfied that the, you know, after visiting, they're going to take steps to resolve it, we may not issue charges. However, we would follow up. With respect to complaint versus proactive enforcement, staff have the ability to do both. So if it's a blatant disregard for a city bylaw, staff will proactively address it. However, for the most part, noise is reactive. For example, a resident might be having a party in which all the neighbors are invited. Therefore, there's no impact to the neighbors. Therefore, there's not really a violation because the noise only is in place when it was likely to disturb another resident. So again, we would proactively and reactively address it. Bylaw staff might stop and speak to individuals that are causing noise in the plaza, that sort of thing proactively, but we'd also respond to calls. I think I captured all the points.
Thanks.
Okay, and just to give you some more noise, Alex wants to know how many noise, car and bike charges have been laid under the Highway Traffic Act and bylaws this year.
So again, I can't speak for the Guelph Police or charges under the Highway Traffic Act. They would have that data. With respect to bylaw enforcement, I don't have the numbers with me currently, but I believe it's relatively low. We've issued a number of warnings. How many we've actually had to go back and issue charges for, I believe it's low. However, I don't have the specific numbers there. Just a reminder, because it is proactive, bylaw officers do have the ability to issue charges and issue and submit them to the court. So it does take some time to figure out what is something we can get back to.
Okay, I would just like to say that it's discouraging to hear that the charges for this year are probably low. Given that, based on that statistic I just stumbled on yesterday, the noise offenses on our city roads in Ontario have gone up 140%. I think it would be great if we could see some charges laid, increased also by 140%. And that, you know, I'm personally really working hard on this issue and trying to make some changes, which I think are going to be good for us all. These drivers don't even realize that they're damaging their own hearing by driving these kinds of vehicles. So anyway, thank you, Doug, for taking your time to be here this morning. I appreciate it.
And just to wrap up, obviously, you know, most of the noise generated is from moving violations and vehicles and radios. And I would just say it's beyond muffled, right? It's stereos and everything. So, you know, and we've spoken, technology every day changes, right? Like we have red light cameras now, we have cameras to address other traffic violations. So I know that there's been a lot of residents that have put forward these noise cameras and everything like that. I just want to assure that it is on staff's work plans in future to take a look at them. We are aware of them. We're tracking other municipalities that have currently put them in place, and we're looking at options to improve our response to concerns regarding noise.
Thank you. Phil, I believe you have follow-up.
Yes, I do. And Warren has a question here that maybe we can take right after that. I think Donna's question is a really important one and does warrant a significant follow-up. And I don't know, perhaps Doug wants to respond to this one, or Dustin does as well. But I think it's really important that we understand the importance of complaint-driven enforcement. The challenges that we have are to make certain that in a civil society, we maintain our civil liberties at the same time, recognizing that there is a requirement for us to deal with issues as they arise. And that's not necessarily easy. I'm going to defend the police and bylaws a bit on this one. One of the problems that we have is it is not necessarily the case that I want Doug or Dustin or Chief Kobe in my backyard all the time to deal with the complaints that I might have my neighbors. What I want to be able to do is to be able to call somebody, and that even includes the Humane Society or wildlife enforcement as well, as is needed. And I think that that's a healthy balance in a civil society that we need to respect. And Doug or Dustin, I don't know whether you want to comment on that or not.
So reactive versus proactive enforcement is often, you know, discussed. We have policy in place that we determine how we're going to proceed. These policies are shared with council. And during our bylaw reviews, often we look at whether or not proactive or reactive enforcement is appropriate for that.
I'm just going to follow up one more point. I many times receive calls from people that say, I need you to do something about noise or about dogs, or why aren't you telling the police or bylaws to do that? And I'm going to be quite unequivocal on this one. First of all, it's not my job. But more importantly, I don't think anybody wants it to be the job of a politician to tell the police or bylaw what to do. That's the foundation of a police state. And I don't think you want either Mayor Guthrie or Councillor Ault or Councillor Galler or Councillor Kate to be able to tell Dustin and Doug or Chief Kobe how to do their job. That's a fine line, and one that I hope is respected by the Charter of Rights and Freedoms and our understanding about what the relationship between civil liberties and respect for the law might be. That might cause some discussion and disagreement with people, and I think that's actually a healthy thing. So if it does, then let's have a dialogue.
I'm not sure if it's the bylaws that I need to go after or the police. I live in the South End off of Victoria. Now, Victoria has just recently put a light in, but that light, all it has done is enabled the trucks to really pick up speed. And then there is another light at Victoria and Arkell. And by the time they get up there, they start gearing down. And believe me, it's atrocious noise that is coming from the trucks. Who do we go after? Do we go after the police or do we come after you?
So as I indicated before, if it's a moving violation, the vehicle's moving and there's some issue with that, that's a police matter. And they have the skill and the authority to address. With respect to engine braking noise and that, if there is a concern, you know, we do recommend the city be notified about it so that we can, you know, look at options to put up signage and that sort of thing. But that's part of our engineer and our transportation staff that would look at that in conjunction with what the police do.
Okay, thank you. I think we're done with the noise issue for now. I'd like to call on John Fisher, who has a few questions.
Hi, Doug and Duncan and everybody else. Yes, thanks. One of them I think you've answered, which was the whether you were reactive or proactive. And I think the answer is it's gray. So I think you've done all you can to explain that one to me. I am interested in the size of the bylaw staff. How many people do you actually have? What's the budget? What hours do you work? That kind of thing. And then as a follow-up to that, I'm interested in how you assess whether bylaw are doing a good job. What's your success measurement criteria that says, okay, we're exceeding our expectations, we're not doing as well as we thought we would. Maybe you do have an analysis of what all the bylaw complaints are, and do you present that to council, in fact, at any time? So there's two or three things there.
Well, I'll turn the microphone over to Dustin, who can speak about the bylaw staffing complement and that, and then I'll get him to turn it back to me to talk about key performance indicators and how we inform council.
I can say that we do have a complement of 16 full-time bile officers, and we do have some part-time that will fill in holes as there's vacation and extra requirements and needs. And we have a team of about 5 or 6 part-time officers that routinely fill in holes. And we also have another component of different type of bile officers that deal with property standards and waste control, which add another 4 officers to the complement there. But I'll touch a little bit on the key performance indicators as well, because bylaw can be a thankless job. So part of the things that we look for is closing files and successful complaints that have been closed. That's something that we try to celebrate internally quite a bit, because there are a lot of files that we're closing routinely after complaints have been closed. And those are some things that we try to discuss with staff, if that's what the goals are. I think I answered most of the questions there. If there's anything, stop me, but if not, I'll pass it over.
And just a quick one, Dustin. You said something that I didn't know, which was that there's a distinction in the roles and responsibilities of bylaw officers. I was wondering if we could just break that out a bit more. That's interesting.
Yeah, I'd love to talk a little bit more about that. So the role of the traditional bylaw officer has quite a variety of different bylaws that they enforce, things like parking, noise, all these other different violations that we've talked about today. But then there's the distinction between property standards bylaw officers. They deal with a lot of the structural issues or exterior, interior, clean yards problems that everyone, so things like long grass and property deficiency. And then we also have waste bylaw officers who deal with solid waste removal and things that have been left on the streets. And they do the actual removal of even sometimes encampments and cleanups on city property. So those are some of the key distinctions there. And if there's any other questions, feel free to ask me about that.
And just to add on to what Dustin said, that's within our departments, within the operations department. There are some bylaw staff that reside outside of our department, including zoning inspectors and the environmental protection officers. So there are some other groups that do have some bylaw officers. With respect to KPIs, that's something that we're working on. We're trying to report back our service standards to council, and that's what we're trying to in the process of develop. Other departments such as fire and ambulance have response time standards and everything like that. Bylaw does not. So is it appropriate that it takes them half an hour to get to a noise call, 45 minutes? What's the appropriate response time? So that's what we're trying to report to council.
Tanya, we've got a couple of questions here. One from John Stegels and also from Councillor Galler as well.
My neighbor hasn't lived in his house for several years now. This is a two-part question. I have complained about grass. I have cut his grass because I get sick of looking at a hayfield. He does nothing about it. I have complained to you guys. I think you stick a letter on his door or something like that. What the hell's point of doing that if he's not living there? You know, I don't see any point in that at all. Two questions. Are there any laws regarding dereliction of houses? Can he be enforced to do something, A, with his house, and B, with his grass?
So the city has a property standards bylaw that requires owners to maintain property to a certain level. So that would deal with the building deficiencies that they need to maintain. For example, if the building is not occupied, all windows would have to be, any open windows would have to be covered, boarded up, that sort of thing. With respect to long grass and other yard maintenance issues, the City of Guelph does have a yard maintenance bylaw in place. With respect to the process under the various acts that property standards falls under, it's the building code, there are requirements under it and the Planning Act to provide adequate notice to a property owner that work needs to be done, and that's 21 days. In addition, any notice that's issued to that, the owner has the opportunity, any orders issued to a property that for work to be completed, the owner has the ability to appeal that to the Property Standards Tribunal, which is a group of individuals that oversee and look at appeals for property standards issues. So there are some delays that are put in place just because of the various acts that staff have to follow. With respect to yard maintenance, Again, we do provide notice through requirements that the ombudsman has made over time. There is also a small appeal process in which residents can appeal the officer's direction to Dustin here to for a second look kind of thing at that requirement. But again, timelines are purposely built into that. Eventually, a property that is not maintained over a certain period of time, especially yard maintenance, is that the city will be proactively, and we have a list of properties that we proactively address. So with respect to vacant properties, it is on our work plans to look at options to address that and whether or not a bylaw needs to be passed.
So what I'm hearing you say is that there are some real high flyers that the city's well aware of, and that these are enforced on a regular basis. Doug and Dustin are nodding their heads. And for people that are actually on the Zoom, Morgan has very kindly offered her computer so that we can see Dustin and Doug, and so we can identify them when we've got a complaint. We can interrupt them when they're in a restaurant eating, just like I'm doing now. And with that, Tanya, where do we go now?
Rodrigo, I believe you have a question.
Okay, we will go to Councillor Galler.
Thank you, Councillor Ault. Good morning, everyone. Mr. Godfrey, Sarah Gronk, with regards to staff, and thanks for letting us know that there's 16 full-time bylaw officers. Could you tell us if you've had any issues with staffing? I know many other public service organizations are dealing with not being able to be up full complement. Are you at full complement, and have you experienced difficulty filling positions when bylaw officers retire or move on to other positions?
So thank you, Councillor Galler. As General Manager of the Operations Department, I can indicate that we've had issues filling various positions, whether it be within Public Works or Fleet. However, I can say that with bylaw compliance, we are at full complement, and we have not experienced any issues obtaining qualified staff. In fact, we're fortunate that Guelph is a municipality in which a lot of bylaw officers would like to work with. So we are very successful when we do recruitment for bylaw positions, and we are at full complement.
Thank you. I believe that Alex has a question. Alex, would you like to ask that?
So my question was, do the property standards apply to the city as well as to citizens? We have a couple of vehicles that have been parked forever and not moved on our street. I noticed the plates have been removed from one of them, and I know a neighbor did complain to the police, but the vehicles remain there. And I would have thought that's a property standards issue for the city, and yet the city doesn't seem to be doing anything about it.
With respect to bylaws in the city is exempt from the majority of bylaws. There's some that we're not, and detonation of explosives, we are not, we have to follow. But for the most part, we are exempt. That being said, there is a standard that whenever possible, we will follow it. For example, a bylaw vehicle may park in a no parking zone to issue another parking ticket. That's perfectly appropriate for that. However, another vehicle parked in a no parking zone simply for any other purposes, it may not be appropriate, and we will follow up on that. Same with noise. For the most part, within the downtown area, we try to do all the work during the day so we don't cause noise overnight. But in some cases, it's necessary. But in summary, while the city doesn't have to follow its bylaws, we strive to do so. So if someone has a concern regarding a city vehicle or some activity that the city's doing, again, contact bylaw, and we will follow up on it.
Thank you, Doug. Morgan, you have a few questions.
Hi, everybody. So I actually have two questions. The first one, we're sticking with parking. I know you guys do a lot with parking, and this is actually a clarification question. I live in a multi-residential unit with private parking that is essentially in a multi-use area just outside of downtown. A lot of times it's only me that's there. The landlady, the owner of the property, is not there. Because there's a commercial property very close by, our parking is often used by patrons of that business while it is still private property. There was an instance where I was the only one home. There's three units in the apartment in the house. And because an illegally parked vehicle on the private property was not in my designated space, no one was able to come out. Can you explain the logic behind this and help us understand who can call on parking infractions, including those parking infractions in private plazas where there are handicap or disabled parking spaces being used improperly?
Okay, so with respect to parking on private property, the city has a bylaw in place that regulates that and provides property owners the authority to have enforcement conducted for regulations on their property. So a large plaza, residential unit, have the ability to set guidelines or set regulations that people on their property must follow. There's some requirements that these be provided to those residents or the, you know, signs be posted. With respect to who can call for enforcement of those lands, it's the property owners primarily, unless they designated somebody else to do so. So for a residential property, they've designated the tenants to enforce their own property spot. So if I have space number one and I live in unit one, that's my spot, I have the authority to call bylaw and enforce that. With respect to visitors or other common areas, that falls onto the private property owner to request enforcement. And there's various ways that they can do that. They can call themselves, or they can actually designate, in some cases, it's the a board, or they can designate specific individuals to enforce the regulations on that property. So in essence, if your property wanted to, they could designate certain individuals to call bylaw and have specific areas enforced. In addition, the city has a program in place because we know there's a lot more private property locations and concerns than we have staff for. So we have a program in place in which property owners or their agents can be licensed by the city to issue City of Guelph parking tickets. We provide training, we provide all the information and all the tools that you need to enforce your own private property. And there are a number of places within the city that utilize property owners, either enforce it, board members enforce it, tenants on behalf of the property owner enforce it. And in some cases, the property owner will hire security companies to enforce on their behalf. So I think that covers the questions.
Okay, and now a completely unrelated question, nothing to do with parking. We've been talking a little bit about the desire for some citizens to have a bylaw requiring something about noise. I've also heard tell of other municipalities having a bylaw whereby there's a maximum heat that is allowed for renters. So my question is, if there is a specific issue that citizens are extremely passionate about, what mechanisms or processes are in place for citizens to put forward suggestions for either new bylaws, improvements, or removing archaic bylaws? Is there any way for citizens to start that process?
So if a resident is wishing to have a bylaw reviewed, amended, or looked at, or creation of a new bylaw, inform us, right? Inform the city, let us know. We will record that, as well as I encourage you to speak to your counselor so that they can bring it up to council as a whole. Currently, staff, both administratively, so staff themselves will look at bylaws and look at amendments, as well as council will direct us to look at bylaws and possible amendments. And we have a backlog right now of approximately 3 to 4 years of reviews that are underway. Everything from light trespass or light pollution that we're looking at right now, security cameras. We've got noise, as I indicated, on coming forward in the future, graffiti. There's a number of topics and a number of bylaws that are being looked at. And in fact, today, there is an information report that should be, actually, this should be released later this week, an information report on all the bylaw reviews and all the amendments that staff are looking at, whether or not it was council directed or whether it was staff that's saying, hey, we need to update this. And there's a list of questions that we follow to determine, what changes are needed. So there is a process in place. We've been doing it for a number of years. Food trucks was one that we've done. Idling bylaw was another. Vehicles for hire are all recent ones that we've done in the last little while.
There's actually a follow-up to my question about who can call. What's the logic behind restricting who can contact?
So the issue is that a property owner is the one that's responsible for all the areas. The tenant that's calling on behalf of a certain area in a common parking spot, like a visitor, may not know all the circumstances behind why that vehicle is there. The owner might give permission that they may be unaware. By restricting it, it's intended to protect the individual that's actually making the call. We want to make sure that they're not putting themselves in a situation in which they could have civil repercussions, for the towing or the ticketing of that vehicle. So we just want to make sure that everyone's in fully aware of everything that's going on. Again, the ability for the property owner to designate it, it's there. They can designate authority to that individual to enforce it. And then that way, we're all clear and everyone's aware.
Hi, my name's Nick. The question I have is regarding the anonymity of people that submit complaints. You've got to live with these people beside you or across the road. And so you want to feel confident that if you put a complaint forward, that it's going to be held confidential. Can you reassure the group that that is the case?
So with respect to bylaw concerns and everything like that, for a resident to make a concern about a bylaw, we don't actually need to know their name or their telephone number or their contact information in most cases. Going back to private property, obviously, we're going to need to know the individual so we can contact them. And there's a form that, there's authorization forms that need to be signed. But in most cases, we do not need to know the individual or their telephone number. However, that being said, it's always good to have that information if we need to do follow-up or we need some clarification. But I can assure you, any information that we have, we do not... we would not provide it. However, if you live on a street and there's only two houses and there's a complaint, then it may be obvious to that individual, as well as once the matter goes to court, there's some requirement to provide information. However, with respect to calls for service, we don't normally record the individual's name or telephone number in any records unless it's actually required.
Okay, thank you. I believe I'm going to go to Nora now. Nora is concerned with powered lawn care blowers that increase particulates in our air, especially now on poor air quality days. Is there a bylaw right now to protect the air and shut down electric or gas powered blowers?
Currently within the city of Guelph, there is no bylaw that regulates the use of blowers and or other like devices, with the exception of the noise bylaw. So the noise bylaw sets requirements as to when they can be used, but there are no regulations currently prohibiting their use on poor air days, that sort of thing. It is something, again, other municipalities have looked at. We're aware of it. However, currently in Guelph, there's not.
Thank you very much. Andreas, do you have a question?
There's an ongoing problem with the dog park on Bristol, the new one, across from the new skateboard park. And the noise is echoing off the apartment buildings. You've got dog owners there first thing in the morning. You've got dog owners driving in from all over the city with their dogs in the pickup truck, just barking away, waking everybody up. People work night shift. You got seniors complaining in my apartment building. They don't know who to turn to. We've got a lot of handicapped seniors who just can't leave the house when the dogs are barking. Then you've got the feces that's horrendous in the park. You know, all the dog poop that's there. People have to smell it. The wind's going the wrong direction. You have to smell this nonsense. And you also don't have any sidewalks on that road for pedestrians. So there's an ongoing issue with pedestrians and dogs
and people that don't want to be around dogs. I've been attacked by dogs.
So with any noise violation or any animal control concern, again, the recommendation is contact bylaw, ask them to patrol. We do routinely patrol the dog parks, especially during the spring and the summer when windows start to open up again in residential neighborhoods and that sort of thing. So we will be out there. Our parks patrol and our bike patrol will be starting soon. So we'll have staff out on bikes, so we will patrol. If there is a concern, by all means, report it and we'll follow up.
Thank you. Erin, I believe you have a question.
Hi, thank you very much. And Doug, we've discussed this before. So I'm going to ask you about potential future bylaws and things like scented laundries. So, you know, as everyone kind of goes out and experiences the smoky air, this is actually a fraction of what people who have issues with perfumed products feel when they go by someone's scented laundry being emitted to the outdoors. And so it makes it people unable to enjoy their own yards and all sorts of things, as well as it's very, very bad for the environment, such as the wood smoke pollution. So I was wondering, as we've done things like the straw bans within the city, is that something that we are potentially looking into to help with our environmental emissions controls, as well as people's ability to enjoy natural spaces?
So, Councillor Caton, I believe I got your full question there, but if I missed something, let me know. There's a bit of noise here that I may not have heard it clearly. With respect to new bylaws, absolutely, we have the ability to look at new bylaws and make recommendations. Like I indicated, later this week, there is an information report that will be released showing all the bylaw reviews that are currently either scheduled or currently underway that council or staff have looked at. Most of the new bylaws are directed by council for us to look at. Some of the amendments are staff and some housekeeping items. Are there older bylaws in other municipalities? We are aware that they do exist, mostly for large manufacturing or kind of related to the growing of cannabis. Some municipalities are experiencing some odors with outdoor growing right now, so we are aware of it. Is it possibly something that we can absolutely look at? Yes, and that's council could direct us to do that. Want to make sure I captured all your questions.
Thank you, Doug. Phil, I believe you have a question.
Yeah, I think as we're getting on, I'm going to just go to a lightning round as much as possible. I have a number of questions. First one that I'm going to ask about is an immediate, and that's a question that comes up every summer. And that is, why does Guelph have a backyard fire ban? And what's the role and responsibility of bylaw versus the fire department on issues of backyard fires?
So obviously, decision to prohibit backyard fires, you know, is spoke to quite a bit. Guelph Fire, you know, has indicated that their concern is that the potential for house fires and other fires to occur if that was permitted. There is the opportunity for certain appliances that can be utilized, but we're talking about wood burning fires are prohibited in Guelph. The role of bylaw and fire in regards to that is both areas have the ability to enforce it and both work together to do so. So if there is a concern or complaint, but again, it's mostly to stop the fires occurring.
Thanks. And now I'm just going to switch seasons so that we can think about cleaner air. I wanted to talk a little bit about snow removal and cars on streets. And this is a personal question for me, because we couldn't get our street plowed a few years ago because one car was on the street and it caused significant problems. How does a person go about dealing with cars that are parked overnight on a street like mine for days on end?
So city obviously plows roads on a priority basis. We plow the larger roads first and then move into the residentials. With respect to when we plow, it's gone from between the hours of 2 and 6 and plow all day Yeah. So when that occurs, we do send out notice asking residents to remove their vehicles from the street. And that's all streets. We're asking people to remove them where possible. For streets that permit year-round parking, we will plow it to the best of our ability. And when it gets to the point where we need to clean that street up, we will actually post temporary signs and ask those vehicles to be moved off. Bylaw staff, on the other hand, do actively enforce vehicles that impede snow removal. And where the operator or the plow requires it, bylaw staff do have the option to remove that vehicle to permit plowing. Within the traffic bylaw, obviously, there's an overnight parking exemption that is in effect during the winter months, but there's also the ability to for the city to declare a parking ban to allow maintenance such as plowing operations to take place. We are looking at options. Our colleagues in engineering will be looking at all parking on street parking options and regulations in the coming years.
Thank you. I think many people are looking forward to that. Next non-threatening question, but an important one. I'm going to follow up on Councillor Caton's question, and that relates to clotheslines. Some neighborhoods have covenants that restrict whether a person can use a clothesline, and I'm quite happy to use unscented laundry soap because I get that nice fresh smell from hanging my clothes out. What can we do about those kinds of covenants?
So those regulations are not enforced by the city, nor are they put in the city. The city does not have any bylaws in place that prohibit clotheslines. Most of those are put in by developers when houses are being purchased, and it's a civil matter.
Okay, I'm not happy with that answer, but it's the only answer I can get. I've got a question that's just come in, and it's an important question. I received many, many calls about landlord-tenant issues and about what the city can do. And so the question that I'm asking you is, as enforcers of bylaws, is there any role for bylaw enforcement in landlord-tenant issues, whether it's an eviction or a problem with the quality of their living environment, so on and so forth?
So with respect to that question, we are also aware of those inquiries being made, and we're actively looking at options internally as to, does the city have any authority? Do we have any ability to look at that? Currently there are property standards. The property standards bylaw obviously sets conditions that are required for, you know, the building. We are actively looking at that at the present time. So unfortunately, I can't answer the question today.
That's okay. I'll take that as a political no comment. Doug, it's an important question too, and it's about threats to physical safety. Sometimes there are bylaw issues, particularly with noisy neighbors or belligerent neighbors, that arise. And I'm just curious, how does bylaw address these? How do we interact with the police? How do we, as neighbors, then deal with those kinds of situations? Anonymity's right out the window when it comes to that sort of thing.
So with respect to neighbor disputes and the like, I encourage residents to contact police or contact bylaw with regarding the concern, and they would take the appropriate steps. Staff and for bylaw staff, I can't confirm that we've been trained in addressing these types of situations. But ultimately, staff don't need to attend at that point in time. We have the ability to follow up. We have the ability to issue charges after the fact. So from a safety standpoint, you may see staff attend a call, they may just observe it, they may leave, and people are going, well, they didn't do anything. Well, maybe for their own safety, the officers have decided that they will come back at a later time when things are probably in the daylight, a little bit calmer, that sort of thing. And we have the ability to issue charges up to 6 months after they've occurred. So we don't need to issue charges at the time.
Tanya, I do have one more question, and that I have two more questions. One comes from Donna, and then one comes from Tanya. So if we can go to Donna first, Tanya, then you can ask yours and do the announcements. Donna.
Okay, hi. Thanks. I'm circling back to the noise bylaws and wondering, Doug, in your opinion, the bylaws, you know, from the perspective of bylaw officers and their area, are they adequate to address the rising noise from noisy vehicles, or do they need to be amended in some way to help your officers actually enforce to the full extent that they're able? And I'm wondering if possible, if you could talk about the use of noise cameras as well, and if the city were to go forward with a noise camera program, would the bylaws needed to be amended in some way to enable them to do their job?
I think that there's a political aspect of your question, and it's the question of what is the budget that we would provide for bylaw support that would include staffing. And I think that's perhaps a more important question to raise with city councilors and to assess what our needs are with a report perhaps back from the bylaw department, recognizing whether we're going to do an adequate job at putting it into an annual or a four-year budget plan. With regards to noise cameras, not being an expert, I'm going to pass that back over to Doug.
Thank you. With respect to whether or not a bylaw is adequate, the processes we put in place for the bylaw reviews is that's community engagement, and community kind of determines whether or not a bylaw is appropriate or not. And bylaws are, as Councillor Alt indicated, community-based, and they may change from one municipality to another depending on the needs. So whether, you know, a bylaw is needed or whether or not it's adequate or needs to be amended, that's up for the community to determine and council to decide. And that's done through our bylaw reviews and our community engagement. With respect to cameras and noise cameras and everything like that, we are aware of it. We are monitoring other municipalities to do it, and we're waiting to see the results from them and to before we make any recommendations. City of Guelph, we do a lot of pilots and a lot of projects, and a lot of municipalities look at us for answers. So in turn, we let some other municipalities take the lead in some other things too, and we look at them. So,
how early in the morning can noise from construction and landscaping begin?
So within the noise bylaw itself, and I should say for the majority of city bylaws, they're all on the city's webpage under Guelph.ca. You can, all the residents can look them up and see them. Under the noise bylaw, there's an attachment in there that lists all the times of day in which equipment or tools or machinery can be used. Normally, is prohibited between the hours of 7 a.m. and 9 p.m. So it's permitted between 7 a.m. and 9 p.m. and not permitted between 9 p.m. to 7 a.m. On weekends and holidays, there is some extension. Some of the categories are reduced to 7 p.m. and some of them are increased to 9 a.m. So it may vary from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. sort of thing, or 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. But I would recommend taking a look at that within the bylaw to determine. On a Saturday, you can't start as early as you can on a Monday. So, but normally it's 7 a.m. Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. Saturday, Sundays, and holidays.
Okay, Tanya, I guess it's time for announcements.
Okay, well, first I'd like to thank our guests for answering all of our questions about bylaws. Please go to the Have Your Say website and give your ideas about Guelph's bicentennial, which is coming up in 2027, and give your ideas regarding having a culture plan in Guelph. The reader also has an interesting quiz, and it's called Hot and Bothered. So test your knowledge about climate change in our city. So Bill 97, the goal of this bill is to make a new provincial policy statement. This is going to have great impacts on growth forecasts, employment areas, urban boundary expansions, and of course, the Green Belt. What can you do? Well, Ontario farmers have pushed back, and you can too. Please comment on the ERO by August the 4th. Google ERO. Proposed policy to get to that page. TN Tales is returning. It happens at the Enabling Garden at Riverside Park. It's every Friday at 10:30 a.m., starting on June the 16th and going until September the 8th. It's hosted by the Guelph Guild of Storytellers. And on June 16th, the storytellers will be Brenda Byers and Don Coneybear. And the Trillium Jazz Trio will provide a prelude to the stories. Next week on Breezy Breakfast, we will be discussing National Indigenous History Month, in particular, the 60s Scoop. And Mike Ashquay will be our guest. This meeting will be held online. However, you are free to attend at the restaurant. And thank you very much to everybody for being with us today. Thank you very much to Doug and Dustin. And we'll see you next week.
That's all for this week. Thanks for tuning in. Listening to the weekly Breezy Breakfast Radio Hour on CFRU-FM is perhaps the best way to find out information about Guelph. Everyone is welcome to join us at 8 a.m. every Thursday at the Rise and Shine on McDonald Street in beautiful downtown Guelph. Music was provided by Jules June. This podcast is produced by me, Longfei Chen. See you next week.